Better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout. I'm telling you why. All right. Yes, you got it. Absolutely. What a joy it was to have him do that. And we're going to dismiss our rooted kids because I wanted to hear you sing. You did a great job. So those of you can be dismissed at this time as well. You know, it's always fun to be able to enjoy the music, celebrating joy. But you know, one of the things is, I got to say something, and maybe you don't want to hear this, but as Christians, we can be boring. Did you ever think about that? We can be really boring. I mean, think about this. Okay, the first song we sang this morning was Joy to the World. Joy to the World. All right. Yeah. I mean, have you ever? Okay. I've been to a lot of churches in my years growing up. I've been to a lot of Christmas services, seen a lot of. And you know, what's funny is do you ever look around at all when you're singing the songs like Joy to the World or How Great Our Joy? You know, and you look around and I have seen very strange manifestations of joy on the faces of people. You know, there is the angry joy. I don't know how that, you know, works, but there's this look of like, if you talk to me, I'm going to hurt you as they're singing. There is the I'm about ready to fall asleep joy. That just kind of like they stand there with this look on their face of complete boredom. And then there's like ventriloquist joy, where I don't know how they can do it, but their lips are just barely moving, like they're trying to sing through the person next to them. And it's just kind of this look. And then of course, there's those handful that really have that joy, right? They're singing, they're smiling, they're and everybody around them is looking at them, like, what is wrong with you? Joy, unspeakable. We can be really boring at times, you know, and I look at this, the shepherd, and I love how the shepherds had graphic t-shirts in those days. I didn't know that there was UFOs and dinosaurs that they were excited about then too. It's pretty awesome. But I kind of wonder if the shepherds had had that experience today, how different might it have been? Because, like I said, we can be pretty boring. You know, I kind of wonder if they would have, around today, they've been out in their field and an angel comes and, you know, it's pretty cool. And they'd be like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. And they hear the story, they hear the message. And so, you know, they're like, you know, this thing that this angel said about, I don't know if it's true or not. We better go and check it out. You know, not out of joy, but we better go check it out to make sure that it really is happening. And they get there and I would see them having to Instagram post their story. You know, going in, hashtag blessed, you know, hashtag barn smells, you know, different, all of these different things, you know, just kind of like doing that. And then they get done, they'd be looking at each other going, okay, that was pretty cool, you know, pretty awesome. Let's go back to work. You know, would it be any different today? How does this joy to the world, where does joy come from? How do we experience it? How do we keep it? That's the candle that we experience. That's what you heard the shepherd saying, that joy was what filled them. Christmas is a season of joy. You see it on Christmas cards, Christmas decoration. Joy, joy to the world. And is it only for Christmas? Or is it something that we can experience every day? Well, we want to look at that in the story, and it was partially read earlier, but I'd encourage you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. We're going to be reading the story of the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, story verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Let's pray. Father, as we talk about joy this morning, the one thing that we do request is, would you bring that joy to us today? Would you open our eyes to see the joy that comes only from you? And that it would fill us, and that we would go from this place filled today. Use your words to change our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oftentimes, our perception of joy is linked with happiness, isn't it? If I'm happy, I have joy. Now, that can work at times, but the problem is if happiness and joy are linked together, then really what that says is joy is circumstantial, because happiness is based on circumstances. If a good thing happens to us, we have joy. If a bad thing happens to us, then what? We won't have joy, because it's not happiness right there. So when we look at this idea of joy, joy is a decision, not a reaction. My girls have heard me say that many times, and others have heard me say that, because we oftentimes don't look at it that way. But joy is a decision. It's something that I choose to do over something that I am reacting as a result of. And as we look at the shepherds here, someone could argue that, well, their joy was experiential because it was a pretty amazing thing, and it said that they were filled with joy. But we see in this that the joy that they had was not only momentary. And we're going to look at that. But we look at joy, and the question has to come down to, what is this joy? And how can we experience this joy, not only at Christmas, but all year long? Is it even possible? Well, if we look at the story of the shepherds, we see a few things. One of those things that we see is joy's motivation. What is the motivating factor behind joy? Everything that we do, there is a motive to it, right? Everything you do, there's a reason behind it. Joy is no different. In order for us to have joy, there has to be something that is motivating that joy in us moving along. We look at the story of the shepherds, and they hear this message from the angel. A son, a savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. He's the Messiah. He's the one you've been waiting for. And it's an incredible, incredible announcement. But what do the shepherds do? They don't just stand there and go, "Wow, that was pretty cool." They actually go, "You know what? Let's go and see this thing that we've been told." I mean, they're excited. This is an incredible message. Now, let's go and see the thing that has been told to us. Now, notice that their joy was not in the fact that they had experienced the angels or this big theatrical thing that happened to them. They weren't filled with joy with that. They were filled with joy because of the message that was given to them. Otherwise, they would have said, "Well, we just had the coolest thing happen to us. There's nothing else that we need to do." Their joy was in the message. A Savior has been born to you. Now let me ask you this question. In your life, what brings you joy? What brings you joy? Now this may be a pretty simple statement to say, but if we do not live in joy, if we're not experiencing joy, it may be as simple as our motivation is placed in the wrong place. I'm going after the wrong things. I'm looking for the wrong things. I am looking for the experiential thing. I'm looking for the momentary thing. I want that thing that will make me feel happy, and therefore I will experience joy. But when we consider again what joy is, that's not where it's at. As a matter of fact, Jesus, in John chapter 15, verse 11, he gives us the motivation. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Now, that sounds pretty amazing. Jesus saying, my joy I am giving to you as a gift. Now, what is this joy that he is talking about? Well, if you look at before and after it, again, putting it in context, Jesus is saying that he's talking about the love of the Father. And he says, the love of the Father is in you if you obey my commands. If you live for me, live in such a way that is pleasing to the Father, the love of the Father is in you. Therefore, if the love of the Father is in you, your joy will be made complete. It's not for today only, it's complete. It's always. So here we see it, do this because of our relationship with the Father. Our motivation for joy is in Christ alone, in our relationship with Him. Paul tells us in Philippians 4:4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. I always love it when that's a great verse because he says, you know what? Be joyful. Always. Hey, listen to me. Rejoice. Take joy. He repeats it. Make sure you get this. When are we supposed to take joy in the Lord? Always. Take joy always. And then in Romans 14, verses 17 through 18, he takes it another step and he says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, the temporary, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. We can see in there again that he says, you know what? Joy is not in the temporary. It's in our relationship with Christ, and in that relationship with Christ, as we serve Him on the basis of that love, joy is going to be a natural byproduct. We will experience joy. Our motivation has to be in the right place. If I want to experience joy, it is in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. But motivation takes us so far. We can have motivation, we can have all of that, and we see in the shepherds that there was more than just the motivation. That was great. But what we see is anticipation. Joy's anticipation. There's something about this with the story that's really cool. The shepherds hear the story, and they go, that's a pretty cool story. And then they say, let's go and do this. How did they go to see what they had heard? It says right there, it says, they hurried off. They rushed. They took off. They didn't think about it. They didn't go, okay, guys, before we do this, we better make sure that the sheep are all in good standing. We got, you know, we got to get somebody to come in. We got to do this. And you know what? We're going to go and do a methodical search for this child. No, it just says they took off. They hurried. They ran, or at least speed walked, or whatever it's called. They did something. They headed in there because they had to see this thing of which they would have been told. I said a moment ago that we as Christians can be boring. I'm going to up this. We as adults, we can be boring. Just being an adult, you can be boring, all right? Own it, all right? Think about it, though, as adults, okay? All right, work with me here. We're going to have a little bit of fun. Think about the most exciting thing that you knew was going to happen to you. Maybe it's a vacation, okay? If you're planning a vacation, you know, you get that excitement, you know, that feeling. You're getting ready to go as the day gets closer. You're just, the anticipation is building within you. You're getting excited. That last day of work, do you get anything done? No. Last day of school before break, do you get anything? No. You are so excited about what's going on. But does anybody around you know that? No, because what are you doing? You're just like, yeah, I'm going on vacation. It's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. I mean, it's like we just kind of, we got to play cool, right? So it's like, we don't want anybody to know how excited we are about something. Christmas time is the worst. We are the worst at Christmas as adults. We are. You know exactly what I'm talking about, guys. There's that gift. You've wanted that gift all year long, right? You've dropped the hints. Maybe not so much of a hint. You've just said, this is what I want. I mean, you've been excited. They're sitting there and the Christmas tree's up, and all of a sudden that package that has your name on it is under the tree. It's the right size, the right weight. You have tested it out. You're going, I think that's it. You are so excited. And you can't wait for Christmas yourself, right? But you're like, I got to be cool. I'm the dad. I'm the guy. Starts and they, you know, the presents are all put out there and you've got them in front of you, but you can't be too excited. You can't show too much excitement. So you start going for the what I call the lesser gifts, right? You pick, you're like, oh, I don't know. Yeah, you know, you guys can go first, you know, and you're just being really nice. You open up those lesser gifts and you're like, oh, thank you very much. Yeah, I needed that. No, oh, socks, thank you. I needed that. You know, and you're kind of going through, but you're leaving that one to the last because you're sure that that's the one, right? You get to that one, and what do? You all of a sudden are like gently opening it up. Yeah. For the first time in your life, you're folding Christmas paper. Like you're going to save it, and you put it off the side. And then, of course, thank you, that was so nice. I didn't expect that. I didn't. We're boring. Just own it, all right? You want to see anticipation. Watch a kid at Christmas, right? They will be squirrely all day long, right? All day. You can't. But then when mom and dad go, is it time? You ready to open the gifts? They're in the room. In our house, we have a tradition where the kids would go and they would hand out all of the presents. We got all out there, all to everybody. We got our little pile next to us. And then we take turns, one at a time. And we would go. And it was, I mean, you watch them, kids, when they're at that point in time, they've already got their gift that they're ready to open, and they're just sitting there. It's like shaking. It's like they can't wait. It's the anticipation is killing them of what this is, and they just can't wait. It's like, is it my turn yet? No, it's not your turn yet. Okay. Someone opens it. Is it my turn yet? No, it's not your turn yet. When is it going to be my turn? I don't know. When we get there. You know, and they're so excited, and then you say, okay, it's your turn. What do? Paper's flying. I mean, it's like there is no piece of paper that's like, it's just everywhere. It's flying. They open it up and they see what's inside of it, and there's this excitement, right? They're like, oh, it's exactly what I wanted. Oh, thank you. They're jumping up and down. They're running around. They're hugging everybody, even the ones that they didn't even give them the gift. They're just hugging everybody. They are so excited about what they did. Guys, we are boring. Anticipation brings joy. And sometimes what we tend to do is what we'll say is, you know what, I need to bring it down a little bit. But understand that the more anticipation that we have. Now, am I talking about anticipation for a gift? No. 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. He says, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you have not seen him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you're receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your soul. See, here's where the anticipation that we have is in this final salvation that we have, the things where God makes everything right. You see, we have to look forward to it. The truth is if I have nothing to look forward to, then I have no reason for joy today. If I have no reason for joy today, then it's based solely on circumstances. And you have to admit, if I am depending on today's circumstances for my joy, that's going to be very fleeting and very limited. But understanding that when we are looking for this, there is an eternal anticipation that we are looking for. Paul actually says in Romans 8, 18 and 19, he says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. I love that verse because of one thing. All creation waits how? Eager expectation. anticipation, excitement for what is going to happen. Now, I often look at this myself and I go, you know what? Of course, I look forward to when Christ returns. But do you understand what that says? All of creation, all of God's creation, not just people, all eagerly anticipate and await his return. The animals await because of what the curse has done to them. They can't wait themselves to be made whole of what they were at creation. The trees, the plants, the fields, all of that cannot wait to be restored back to God's original intentions. Joy is found in anticipation, not only that he came to the manger, but in the fact that he will one day come back and take us to be with him. If we don't place our joy in that, we will struggle to have joy. We have the motivation, we have the anticipation. But this is an interesting part of joy, is that joy requires something of us. Joy requires a response. And as we have that response, it increases the joy in which we live. You know, again, we tend to go through life, the older we get, we stifle that joy. We kind of push it down so that we may feel it inside, but we don't want others to see it. But I feel the more that we stifle that joy, the less we experience the fullness of that joy. I love the shepherds in the story. They hear the message. They want to go see this thing that was said to them. And it says that they hurried off and saw in search of what they had been told. And what then happens to me is amazing. These, remember, shepherds, low class in society, they were kind of the nobodies. Jesus comes, or the angel comes to them and says, I'm giving you this message. You're going to be the first ones. They go out. They see Jesus. They see Mary. They see Joseph. And then when they're done there, what do? They don't go back to their sheep. They don't go back to business. It says that they began to go and spread the word. They had to tell everyone that they knew what they had just seen. You need to know this. You got to hear what we experienced. This is incredible. We sing the song at Christmas, go tell it on the mountain, right? Over the hills and everywhere. And I think sometimes we sing it like I'm singing it to the person next to me. You need to go tell it on the mountain. But that is where joy comes in. We tell the story. We tell about Christ. And as we tell that message, we begin to grow in this joy. The psalmist has it well. In Psalm 96, verse 3, he brings these words. He says, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. Declare his glory. Talk about it. Share it. Again, in Psalm 105, verses 1 through 3, he kind of expands on it. He says, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him. Sing praise to him. Tell of his wonderful acts. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Why is it important that we respond to joy like this? Why do we tell the message? Why do we share it? Simple. The more that I share it, the more the joy builds, because the more I see the greatness and the goodness of God, the more I experience his presence, and the more I experience his presence, the greater the joy will be. Now let me throw in a plug here for a little advertisement. The day after Christmas, December 26th, this is a Sunday, and we're going to do things a little bit different on that day. We're going to have one service at 9:30, and it's called Church in the Round, or Service in the Round. We're going to have chairs set up in a big circle here. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to worship. We're going to praise. But then what we're going to do is this. We're going to be kind of scattering throughout it your story. I'm not preaching on that day. You are. This is where we get to share about the goodness of God. What has God done in your life this last year? What are you seeing him at work doing? And the cool part of that is, as we tell these stories, we encourage one another. The joy within us grows and the joy within others grows. And all of a sudden we begin to experience this. You know, this is very practical. Actually, let me give you a practical application of this in your homes that you can do this week. Spouses, you do this for one another. Kids, you do this for your parents. Over the course of this week, just do this little experiment. Every day, tell someone that you come into contact with something good that your spouse or your parents have done for you. Tell them a good thing. Good, all right? Tell them something good. It's easy to do the bad, the frustrating. But go around and do that. Just say, you know what? This is what my spouse did for me this week. This is what my spouse did for me last. Something like that. Or a parent, you know, this is what my mom and dad did this. You know what? They made me breakfast and you know, something like that. Tell somebody about it. And you know what will happen? I would almost guarantee this. When you come to the end of the week, will you just sit down for a moment and go, how did this little exercise impact me? And I think you'll find something interesting. The more you tell the story of your loved one and what they have done for you, the more your love for that one will grow and the joy of your marriage or your family relationship will increase in that, giving you a little image of what joy's response is. The more that I tell about what God has done in my life, the more I will experience that joy. But with this response, joy is a cyclical thing. Because remember, joy is not something that we just go, you know what, I had a really good day today, I'm feeling joy. Joy is something that should go on. Joy's impact is one that should never end. We continue to have it. It's a lifestyle, not a momentary thing. The story of the shepherds, we don't get the long-term after story of this. We don't hear what happens the next week and 2 weeks and 3 weeks, but I can tell you that my guess is that they were greatly impacted by this thing. I don't think that they just went back and then they were like, you know what, I think everything's great. You heard the shepherd that was there on the screen, you know, he said that my brother tells me this never happens, but I don't know if I believe him. Do you get that? There was this, it can happen again. It could come back again. Joy is an ongoing, working within us. I don't think that the shepherds went back and just sat there and just talked about sheep anymore. My guess is as they sat around the campfire, as that night approached the next night or in the following nights, that they sat there and probably were like, guys, man, do you remember? And for a long time afterwards, they just reshared the memories that they each had. Oh man, you know, when that angel did this, this is what, when I saw that, oh man, do you remember the look on Mary's face when we told her? And they just went over and over and over each time, feeling the joy of that day. And it impacted them every day. Joy, when it's in the right place, will impact our lives every day. As a matter of fact, Psalm 118, verse 24 says, the Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Now, that's a great verse, and you probably actually know that one in another translation, which actually says, this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. See, joy's impact is such that all we need is just another day. And joy is there. Let me ask you this. When you woke up this morning, was your first reaction to say, man, what a day God has given me today? Did anybody do that? Now, maybe some of you broke an alarm clock, but you know, there's this thing, but to understand that joy can get to the place that the impact is so much that all I need is just to be able to wake up in the morning and I'm filled with joy. Because the more that I grow, motivation is there, the anticipation, my response to it, the more that that grows, the closer my walk with Christ becomes, and the natural byproduct in my life will be joy. That's actually what Paul says in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, where he says, here is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and against such things there's no law. I don't think there's any mistake as to why love and joy are the first two. God is love. And when we live in God's love, joy will be natural. When we live in the relationship with Christ, it will flow through us. And that's when we can be like Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, where he simply says, rejoice always. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. See, I can thank him always. I can rejoice. I can take joy in him always. Joy. The joy of Christmas. Let me ask you this now as we kind of wrap this up. Do you have joy today? You know, I can stand up here and talk about joy and just say, you got to have it, you got to have it. But life has a way of stealing joy. Where's your joy today? If you're experiencing the dryness of life, the wilderness of life, can I encourage you in this? Remember that joy is founded in the one who came as the child, who went as the criminal, but who's coming back as the king. Joy and motivation for that is that we will one day see him again, and as he comes back, we live every day with that eager anticipation of his return. You realize that every day you wake up in the morning, that first thought that we can have is maybe today. Maybe today. And the more that I share of my incredible King, the more I tell the story of Christmas, the more I am amazed that God would love us so much. And joy has to fill my heart. If you're experiencing that low of joy, maybe like the shepherds, you need to go to the manger today. Maybe you need to hear the message. The news of great joy for all people. Christmas is the season of joy. What's your motivation? Your anticipation? What will be your response today? Because you know what? Jesus Christ is coming to town. Let's pray. Father, this whole story of redemption is such an incredible story that if we truly grasp onto that, what this world has can only be so limited. But when we consider all of eternity, when we consider that you will return to take us to be with you, that brings within us the sense of joy because we eagerly await with all creation for your return. Lord, as we look at our Christmas celebrations this year, may we be filled with joy in such a way that that joy spills over and that others will be able to experience it as well. Help us to be like the shepherds, not like boring people. But help us to, with excitement, with joy, with anticipation, go tell it on the mountain. Tell of our wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, and our King of Kings. To your glory and to your majesty be all. In Jesus' name, amen.